Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Matt Leon today from KYW in Philadelphia. Talk about the Eagles. A little bit on the Sixers, too. Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Talk a little hockey with Tim King as well. Penn State has Niagara coming up tomorrow and Friday at the Pagoule Ice Arena as part of this 10-game homestand. So we have a lot going on in today's show. We bring in Sean Carey, former caddy for the suit.
Yeah, I'm good at a golf cart as well. So we're about 5 hours away from the World Series. And how about this, Steve? If the Indians win tonight, that means the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Cleveland Indians would win championships in their respective sports since the Cleveland Browns have, I mean, won a football game.
That's right.
Pretty incredible.
It is. Indians haven't won the World Series since 1948 when they beat the Braves. The Boston Braves. That's how far back it goes. And they also, of course, we know the tale of woe for the Cubs. We understand that very well, what the tale of woe is for the Cubs. It's been well documented. How about that? Well documented. So tonight will be interesting in many ways. For one thing, you have an Indians bullpen that is completely rested. If Kluber can give them five innings, now at that point, Terry Francona can turn it over to the pen and just let her rip. They're rested. Miller's absolutely rested. Shaw's rested. Allen's rested. I think the Cubs are going to need at least six really good innings out of Hendricks tonight. The Indians can get away with four or five innings out of Kluber. I think the Cubs need six out of their starter, out of Hendricks. Especially last night with them having to use Chapman. Now, I am not a big believer in the, Chapman can only go one or two batters tonight. It's the last game of the season. He throws 100. Now, what you're worried about when it comes to this, when a guy does that, okay, is that you are concerned, okay, that he will not be in the strike zone. Okay, I understand that. That's an issue that he would not be in the strike zone. Or at 100, it would be flat. That's an issue.
Were you surprised that Chapman was in as long as he was last night?
No. Because the Cubs had to win last night. They needed to win the game. That's the problem. The problem is what, you know, the circumstance. I mean, this is where, okay, I talk about this all the time. And I talk about this all the time is that we're always doing things where we're talking about the future. So, in other words, you're trying to talk about you're trying to talk about You know, what are they going to do with this team? What are they going to do with that team? What are they going to, you know, what are you going to do about this game next week, 2 weeks from now? Who knows? Nobody knows. I mean, nobody knows any of that stuff. You know, Joe Maddon needed to manage in the moment to give his team on that night the best chance of winning. So he pitched him. Okay, fine. He thought that was his best option to win. I cannot fault him for that. I cannot fault him for thinking that that was his best option to win the game, because his bullpen is good. It's not great. I mean, Strope's okay. Edwards is okay. And he couldn't afford to let it dangle along the way. He doesn't have the depth the Indians have in the bullpen.
So because of that fact, if he hits, depending on what we see on the scoreboard, a manage-in-the-moment scenario tonight, could he bring John Lester in late, like you said? All hands on deck.
Well, Lester can pitch tonight, but here's the difference you have to remember with a starter versus a reliever. A reliever has a...
I got to thinking about the Madison Bumgarner when he came in late 2 years ago for the Giants.
Right, yeah. And he went, what, five innings and got the win?
Yeah.
Okay? So he goes five innings, he gets the win. Okay? And that's... But a starter coming out of the bullpen, what's different is that it takes them longer to warm up. If Lester comes in the game, it will have to be something where they set it up with him warming up, and then he has to start the inning. See what I'm saying? A reliever, you can sit there and like, okay, they tell Edwards, get up, get going, big guy. You're going to be coming out there. And Edwards is used to doing it. Carl Edwards Jr., he's used to doing it. So it's no big deal for him. No big deal at all. And when that's not a big deal for him. He's used to doing that. And I think that's the big difference between, hey, you know, they can pitch Lester. You just can't look at Lester and say, hey, look, throw 10, 12 warm-up pitches in the pen, and then we'll bring you in. He has a specific routine that takes time for him to come in a game. He just can't be, hey, hurry up and warm up. Now, actually, Lackey actually can go shorter. His warm-up routine is shorter than Lester's. That's why Lackey, who has pitched in relief before in the postseason, not this year but in other years, the only guy that's not available is Arrieta. But it would be a case for Lester where he could pitch maybe an inning, but he'd have to do it starting the inning. I'd be really surprised if he came in the middle of the inning, unless he's been warming up for a period of time. It just takes a starter longer to get ready. But if Hendricks pitches six innings, that solves a lot of things for the Cubs tonight. If he pitches six innings tonight, now you got Montgomery. I mean, and I think Chapman can give him four or five outs. Again, he throws 100. And when you throw 100, that does solve a lot of things. The key for him is whether he would be 100 and out of the strike zone, or if it's 100 flat. If he's throwing 100, he's got some movement on his fastball, then it's going to be awfully tough for anybody to catch up with him. But this whole thing about whether they can pitch him or not tonight, look, it's the last game of the season. Of course they can pitch him tonight. And not only that, I think he can give them four or five outs. I'd be shocked if he couldn't give him four or five outs. And as for what he did last night, he pitched in the moment last night. He felt at that point, I can't lose this game. So he pitched him. I think he would have loved to have seen Arrieta give him seven innings, but the problem, you know, like 120 pitches, but Arrieta was, You know, you got to go with trust is a big part of managing or coaching. Who do you trust at that moment? We talk about this all the time in football and in basketball. I talk about, like, you know, you, in basketball, people are like, hey, did you see, you know, Billy started, right? Well, what does it tell you that Bobby's finishing the game and it was a two-point game? Okay. The last 5 minutes of a basketball game that's really close, look at the five people out there. Those are the five people that, the coach trusts the most. Okay? As opposed to the five people who started the game. Same thing in football. You put out people that you trust to get it done for you. And so at that moment, he looked around and he did not trust Jake Arrieta to get him out of that inning. And he didn't trust, so he brought in Montgomery. Well, after Montgomery got in trouble, he didn't trust anybody else but Chapman to take the next step. And I don't blame him at all for doing it. Not in the least. He had to win last night. He did not have a game in the bank where he could save his guys. Meanwhile, Terry Francona, who had a game in the bank to play with, didn't pitch Miller, didn't pitch Shaw, didn't pitch Allen. All three are available tonight. That's because the fact his team came into the game with a 3-2 lead, he had that luxury. Joe Maddon did not have that luxury. He had to win last night. And I don't blame him at all for pitching Chapman last night and the way he used him. Not in the least. He had to win last night. So you got to put in the person you trust. We now know how it turned out. So now you second guess, but I mean, he brought him in. I thought to myself, you know what? I don't blame him. He needs to get this done now. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All comes down to trust. And I think at that point, that's the guy that Joe Maddon trusted. I mean, he had a lot of outs to get, and that's the guy he trusted. And if you don't trust the other guys out there, to me, it makes all the difference in the world. I mean, who do you trust? This is also the same manager put Schwarber in the two spot, put Bryant down to three and Rizzo to four and Zobrist to five. Looked like it worked out pretty well. You have a different bullpen situation. I mean, you can just tell that the two guys he really trusts, I think the guy he trusts the most is Chapman. Montgomery is the guy he trusts next, and probably Carl Edwards Jr. next. Those are the three guys. He doesn't trust Rondon, Strope, any of those guys. I mean, seriously, I mean, you know, I wouldn't, would you? I mean, when you're in that position where what gives me the best shot of getting to tomorrow It's a little, you have to manage differently when, you know, as opposed to the other dugout. The other dugout knew that no matter what, I either won it tonight or I have tomorrow. Well, when you know that you don't win it tonight and you can't blow it, especially on the road, I don't blame him for doing that at all. That is an in-the-moment decision about who do I trust. Then when Rizzo hit the home run, he needed just to buy one batter to get Strope ready. And then, you know, Strope gave up a run. You know, they'd take him out. So. And what did Chapman throw last night? 22 pitches? 23 pitches? He didn't throw a lot. I think he threw maybe 23, 24 pitches, something like that. It wasn't a lot. So that's coming up tonight. And nothing like Game 7. Game 7 anything. This is the baseball championship game tonight. Fox is reeling. I mean, they are just raking in the ratings.
And I just heard a couple of hours ago that NBC decided to go with reruns tonight. They originally had new episodes scheduled tonight, so they're not wasting originals tonight. They're going to play a couple of repeats of Law & Order SVU and Chicago PD.
Right.
They know they got no contest.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Ham just sent me a really confusing text. I have no idea what that means. I have no idea he sent me a text. I can't even decipher what it means. Okay. Here's my response. I'm confused. Okay. I don't know what that means. So we'll find out what I had no idea what his text means to me. None. If you looked at it, he'd be like, I don't know, what does that mean? I don't know.
He definitely doesn't sound like the kind of guy that would, you know, you guys text back and forth, that he would, instead of typing out no problem, I don't see him being the kind of guy that would type NP for no problem.
Well, no, he was asking me a question.
Right.
I don't know what the question means. I don't know.
Regarding Saturday? Game?
Yes. Okay. Yes, regarding Saturday, and I don't know what it means.
Already looking forward to the Friday night meal at Indiana?
I'm lost. I'll be frank with you. He put his question was 12 with 8 question marks. I don't know what that means. I'll call him. We'll talk to Matt Leon next half hour about the Eagles. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, where it's 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So there's a very good chance right now that the host of this show is on the phone with pound for pound the best football analyst in all of radio. We'll have to find out what was discussed. can get in touch with
us. Okay, I figured out what he wanted.
As I just said, he's got to be on the phone with pound for pound the best football analyst in all of radio.
Yes, I was, as a matter of fact. So, yes, I was.
So he texts you a number 12 with 8 question marks. I'm thinking, okay, maybe he found something about Chris Godwin we're not aware of? Or
no, it has to do with the ranking.
Yes.
He said that he started watching it when it came up at 19. And all of a sudden they go to 19, 20, 21, 22. And he's like, he was disappointed. Because they're like, darn, they didn't make it.
So he was looking more along lines of like a 22 then.
Well, no, he started watching the show when they hit 19.
Mm.
So he was like, he's disappointed. And he said, then he went back and he read the thing. He goes, no wonder he didn't see it. I said, well, yeah, there's a good reason you didn't see it.
Well, we have been baseball heavy here at the top of the show. Your initial reaction when we found out last night when the first college football playoff top 25 came out and Penn State's there at number 12?
Good starting point. I think for the fans, it's awesome. It's really something to get excited about. I think that for national perception of Penn State, it gives the perception that it's a program on the rise, a program on the go, a program, you know, a lot of great things are happening around here. In terms of this football team in the moment, it doesn't mean anything. I can't say. 12 is the fact that you can win some games and suddenly get yourself into the top 10 and there's bigger fish to fry. So, I mean, to me, the starting point is great at 12. But that's all it is a starting point. It doesn't win you any games. Now you got a third of the season remaining. So you go out and you take care of your own business. The rest will then take care of itself. That's how I look at it. I mean, if I mention it once or twice in the broadcast on Saturday night, I'd be shocked it would be more than that. Maybe once in the pregame and maybe once in the postgame, depending on the outcome. How about that? The rest of the time, no need.
All about Iowa.
Well, I mean, but I can't get ready for rankings. I can't, you know,
right.
I'm not doing a 3.5 hour speculation show. I'm doing a 3.5 hour where's the ball show? Where's the ball? What's the down and distance? Let's see. This day in sports history, 1938, it was announced that Babe Ruth had applied for the job as the manager of the St. Louis Browns after being released as a coach in the Dodgers, the Brooklyn Dodgers. It was one of the great disappointments he had in life was that he never got to be a major league manager. 1964, CBS purchased 80% of the Yankees for $11.2 million. CBS owned the Yankees for 9 years. There were 9 years where they didn't do much. 1972, construction began on the Kingdome in Seattle, which then opened the door for the Seahawks and opened the door for the Mariners. And also became the home for the Seattle Supersonics. 1992, Magic Johnson officially retired from the NBA for a second time. 1996, Michael Jordan, the Air Jordan, he was on the cover of TV Guide. Does any young person out there know what TV Guide is? And NBA.com TV was launched this date, 1999. Eagles played really well the other night for the most part against the Cowboys, but Dallas won in overtime. Matt Leon now joins us, KYW in Philadelphia. Matt, welcome. What was your impression of how it played out Sunday night?
Well, you can't blow a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. I thought that the Eagles were the better team for much of the game, but I also thought they were incredibly proactive in their own demise.
Yeah, and what were a couple factors that you saw that made them proactive in their own demise?
Well, I thought I saw a lot of Andy Reid and Doug Peterson last night, and I mean in my opinion, the shortcomings of Andy Reid in some of the play calling, the unwillingness to go vertical, constant horizontal passes, if not behind the line of scrimmage in odd situations, the odd trick play call where they tried a quick pass bomb with Josh Huff in field goal range, and then they throw the ball 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage to Sproles on a third down and take themselves out of field goal range. They had a critical third down and four where they throw the ball to the third string tight end. There were a lot of things like that where they seemed to get a little too cute for their own good, and it really cost them the momentum and eventually the game.
overall defensively, how do you think they handled Elliott and Prescott last night?
They did well in spurts. I thought Dallas came out and early on really dictated offensively, and then I felt like the Eagles adjusted through most of the second and third quarters and really, I think, had Prescott looking like a rookie quarterback. But then once the Eagles kind of they turned it over on a fumble late, and the defense did a nice job to hold the three there. But when Dallas got the ball back with a chance to tie in the final minutes, they let them go 90 yards, and really I thought were a little passive on that. And then in the overtime, you know, Dallas goes right down the field. So, I mean, they had their moments. They did an okay job against Elliott. He had one really long run called back by a penalty. Other than that, they did a good job of keeping him in check to a point. I thought he ran well, but I didn't think he dictated the game. But they fell apart when the game was on the line. I mean, you can't let a team go 90 yards in the final minutes for a tying touchdown. And then in overtime, you can't let a team go length of the field for a touchdown. You've got to find a way to keep them out of the end zone there. Overall, I would say because of that, the defense, you have to give them a poor grade. But I thought they had stretches where they played really well.
Yeah, they did. But the bottom line, in the overtime, the Eagles never got the ball. I mean, that drive took, what, 7, almost 8 minutes?
Oh, yeah, and Dallas did what they wanted. And,
right.
You know, I'm not smart enough X and O-wise to know if they really backed off scheme-wise and were trying to keep stuff in front of them, but I do know that Cole Beasley was not a factor for 3.5 quarters, right. And then all of a sudden he's getting free 15 yards down the field with no one within 7 yards of him. I mean, they did one of the best jobs they've ever done in Jason Witten's career of keeping him quiet, and then, of course, he scores the game-winning touchdown when two guys ran into each other. He was left wide open. They struggle to get consistent pressure on the quarterback, and other than Brandon Graham, who is playing about as well as any defensive lineman in football right now, they don't have a lot of guys generating much pass rush, and especially against an offensive line as good as Dallas's, I think that was really one of the big struggles in the second half of the fourth quarter in that overtime. Dallas was able to dictate, sit back, and do what they wanted offensively.
Sixers for a moment. Joel Embiid. How impressed have you been by what you've seen in the early going?
Oh, very impressed. I mean, I can't wait for the day, and I hope it's sooner rather than later when all the minutes restrictions and all are taken off him, because he's a special, special talent. You see the ability to score. Obviously, at 7'2", the ability to rebound and defend, but he can defend away from the post. He can get out on the perimeter. He can shoot from the perimeter. One of the things you really like about him, he's an outstanding foul shooter. And as a guy who is such a mismatch as he is going to get fouled so many times just because other teams can't handle him. And he is not just a good foul shooter. He is a plus foul shooter.
Yes.
And that's going to be really, really big over the course of a season. So there's really, really a lot to like. I think he's as advertised. You see why he was number 3, why he would have been number 1 if he hadn't gotten hurt. And you see what they've missed the last 2 years with him on the sideline.
And not only that, but you know, his weight's down. How much of a plus has that been to have his weight down?
I think it's been a big deal, but I think he was in pretty good shape last year. I think the only time it seems like he really had the weight problem was that first year when he knew he wasn't going to play, and I think he struggled with the adjustment and not being able to do the one thing he wanted to be able to do. And, you know, he's 21, 20 years old. I mean, it was an impossible situation. I thought some people really judged him unfairly based on that first year when he was in a really, really difficult situation. But you see now that he's finally out there, you see the personality. I'll tell you what, if he can stay healthy, it's obvious he can play. When this team turns the corner, he will own this town because he is not just a phenomenal talent, but he seems like he is an A-plus personality, and he'll be a lot of fun.
How anxious are you now to see a guy like Simmons, who doesn't mind passing the ball, being out there with Embiid?
Oh, yeah, that's the real shame of it is, you know, it's amazing for a team that's as young as this team is how many injuries they have to deal with. But you look forward to Simmons getting out there, and that could be a lethal one, too, and you throw in however it shakes out. Saric, Okafor, Noel, whoever is still here, whoever they decide to plan on big picture. And, you know, they still have two more first-round picks next year, and they have a pick swap with Sacramento. So you're going to be adding another, probably another top three, top four talent, and you really get a feel. While I know a lot of people didn't like the way Hinkie approached it, you see what his idea was to just have cascading young talent coming in wave after wave, because you know not everyone's going to work out, not everyone's going to stay healthy, but if you get multiple bites at the apple, there's a much better chance eventually it's going to hit.
By the way, I was never enamored with Embiid's way to Kansas. So that was actually the big part of my question with him, is I feel like he's got it under control now. So
yeah, and a lot of that might just be growing up too. I don't mean emotionally. I just mean because he's actually grown like 2 or 3 inches since Kansas.
Man, because like, he moves, man. He moves, though. You look at how he moves.
Oh yeah, no, he is not a plotter at all. He is special. He is. I mean, he's still figuring it out as far as the NBA game. I mean, we're talking about it. You know, he's played whatever it is, 40 minutes in the regular season. I mean, like I said, wait till he is just out there with no restrictions and really, really comfortable, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Matt, appreciate it as always. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Matt Leon, KYW Philadelphia, back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. We roll through this together. Tim King on Penn State hockey next half hour. Frank Bodani final half hour. York Daily Record on Penn State football. Donnie Collins tomorrow. Let's see. And our high school football announcers tomorrow. Not bad. My brother is building an insurmountable lead, by the way.
Yes, he is. Man, 7-0 in the picks last week. In fuego.
He's got too much time in his hands.
He's just using this platform as a springboard to make some cheddar. I've come to that conclusion.
Cheddar? He's making cheddar at our expense.
Yes. Should warrant a 10% cut, I would think.
You always thinking. Always think.
That's scary.
Well, you are, and let's face it, you are the thinker on the show. I show up. You're the thinker. All right? It's
not that way in my house, though. It's the other way around. I just show up, and the better half's the thinker. I know.
And I know a feeling.
Amen. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
not swimming on an island here with Dom Hanks and the ball.
No. It's really, wow. I can tell you right now, I mean, people say, oh, yeah, I mean, really, you know. I said, I'm what? I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm out there cutting the lawn and taking the garbage out. What does that tell you? I'm lucky I even got a shot. I mean, in some ways, this is my vacation. I mean, really. All right, so we got that. By the way, the suit's in last place. His picks have been a disaster. I think, what is he, like 10 and 40 or something like that? He tried to get himself involved.
Give or take, yeah.
Yeah, he tried to get himself involved in the show. And, you know, it's, you know, trying to kind of get himself back in the groove, and it's not happening. It's not happening.
You're right, you know, though. The segment would turn into a full hour deal with him.
Oh.
He says he calls it prep. Calls it prep. you get a chuckle out of that.
You ask him one question, and like, everything I prepared, I'm going to tell you all at once. Like, okay, like, really? Okay. We're on the air for several hours here.
Spread the wealth.
So here's something else you'll get a chuckle on. I was on the way home last night. I'm north of Lewisburg, Route 15, and yeah. I'm in the passing lane, but a Volvo passes me on the right. Okay, look at the license plate. You'll appreciate this, being the avid golfer you are. Pars yeah. for life. And, and in the top left corner of the plate where the registration sticker is supposed to be, a golf ball was glued to the plate.
A golf ball? Really? Wow.
We weren't sitting at the red light. I wanted to screen grab it and text you, but we were moving. I didn't get a chance to do it. So, but I knew you would appreciate that.
Well, we're coming back from the World Series up in Boston. I got behind a truck. Brad Caldwell Trucking. I had to send it to Spider because that's Brad. That Spider's name is Brad. I said, my goodness. I said, equipment man extraordinaire. I said, personality extraordinaire. I said, entrepreneur.
I said, what you were doing for that year or two when you weren't here.
I said, no wonder you claim you don't need this. Spider's one. You know, one of these, you know what? We should do that. We should get Spider on the show.
Oh,
which
my.
I can do. Which I can do like that. I just saw him today.
The longtime fans would enjoy that a lot. The stories he could tell. Thank goodness.
And some we can use on the air.
Right.
Yeah. That would be, you know, that would be, I think that would work. You know, we should get Spider on the air. What the heck? It would take me one phone call he's on. You know? I mean, that's... But that one's about as easy as it gets, because he'll do it in a heartbeat. If I ask him to do it, he'll do it. Plus, he'd love it. And he would. He would love it. He would be... he'd be all over that. It'd be fun. I think longtime fans would love to have him on. Well, I'd love to hear him. No, we'll do that. Yeah, we'll set him up here one of these days. Why not? You know, he's over at the sports museum and whatever. Anytime. Well, actually, he's working with Bob White over in with the club seating. So yeah, that'd be great. It's a good idea. I finally came up with one. Again, he's the genius behind the show. I just sit here and go, you know, I mean, every once in a while I come up with one, like, let's do the high school football thing. You know? But, yeah. Oh, boy. Friday Night Football is coming to the Big Ten starting in 2017. Friday Night Football coming to the Big Ten. Beginning in 2017, the Big Ten will play 6 primetime games on Fridays, likely to be televised by an ESPN channel, Fox, or Fox Sports 1. None are slated to be on BTN. The games will be limited to September and October. The league is committed to 6 Friday night games for the next 6 seasons. I think it looks like it's 6 total. That's 1 a year. Great.